Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next episode of A Few Minutes with Molly. I'm Jerry Price, and I'm here with Ford Family Director of Athletics, Molly Marcuse-Simon. Molly, welcome.
Thanks, Jerry. Happy to be here.
So, in our first two podcasts, we established fairly clearly that you're a former Princeton athlete and that this is your fifth year and all of the things that have gone into bringing you to Princeton and all that. And I think we can probably leave that behind this time, although I do want to touch a little bit about your athletic background as it related to the She Roars event that was two weekends ago, where 5,000 women alumni came back to Princeton. And if you want, if you can just talk a little bit about the event itself, your role in the event, and being an alum and an administrator at the same time, how you saw both sides of it.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I think the number was more like 3,500, but you know, we can add some more to it. But it was fantastic. I mean, there was so much energy around the conference. There was so much enthusiasm from the alumna who came back, and there were some tremendous speakers, a lot of inspirational.
The Supreme Court justices.
They were phenomenal, and I think so many people enjoyed their presentation, but there were many other smaller panels that really honestly hit a lot of the subjects and topics that we've been talking about a lot in terms of mindset and sort of approach to life. And it was really exciting. And also Courtney Banghart just absolutely killed it. She was one of the keynote speakers at one of the largest events, which was a big a lunch. And she was with Anne-Marie Slaughter, Amy Cuddy, and Courtney, and they each had, you know, 7 to 10 minutes to give sort of like a little TED talk, and Courtney brought down the house, you know, and the other two were amazing too, but Courtney was really phenomenal and really showcased how talented our coaches are and kind of how they approach their jobs, and I was really proud of her and thrilled with what she was able to do.
That's definitely something that's right in her wheelhouse, and I could see her one day. I've talked to her about this on the podcast that I do with her. I could see her one day going into politics when she's done with coaching.
Well, she's really, you know, yeah, who knows what she could do, anything that she wanted to do, but you know, I think she's very authentic and genuine on the when she's given the presentations, and funny and really relatable, and so I think people really enjoyed hearing from her.
So one of the things that was part of the She Roars was your athletics panel that was you and Lori Dauphiny and Kara Mori and Chris Saylor, and you talked a lot about performance and a lot about culture, and I thought that it was pretty well received.
Yeah, we got great feedback, and again, when you're bringing in, I was joined by those three amazing coaches, and each has a really different in unique perspective on how they are optimizing the performance of the individuals on their team as well as their overall team, and kind of how that has morphed and changed for particularly for Lori and Chris, who've been here for, you know, many, many years, and sort of how their approach has changed.
She loves when you joke about that with her, Chris.
Chris, yeah. Well, listen, Chris is unbelievable, as is Lori, as is Kara. I mean, we just have this amazing group of coaches, men's teams, women's teams, that really understand their role and their ability to really change the lives of their student athletes. So we talked a lot about really performance optimization, both from the physiological standpoint as well as the psychological sort of mindset of our student athletes. And we talked a lot about developing culture on a team. And I think a lot of the people who were at the presentation came up and said, this is all so relevant to, first of all, our daughters or our sons as we sort of raise them in the athletic world, but also to our own, our company or the organization within which we work. And so, again, we were trying to relate our athletic sort of mission to the mission of really any organization or team. And I thought it went pretty well.
Did you see a lot of familiar faces?
I did. I mean, there were some people from my teams, and there were people from my era, and then there were really people from every era. And there were some of Lori's athletes there. I think there were some of Chris's, and I think Dena Lang was there in the back. She obviously played for Kara. So it was a really great cross-section of alumna, and you know, it was really fun to do, first of all. I loved being a part of it.
So that was two weekends ago, and then last week, in the middle of the week, was the Jake McCandless Princeton Varsity Club Speaker Series event that featured Eric Weihenmayer. And he's somebody that I heard speak at the previous time he was here, which was in 2005, and I was just struck by what a great speaker he was and what a great story he tells. And for those who don't know by now, he was the he's blind. He went blind when he was 13 years old. His father, Ed, is a former Princeton football captain and was a Marine fighter pilot in the Vietnam War. And basically, Eric has not let being blind slow him down at all.
No, in fact, I mean, it's given him this platform to really, I think, change the world, change people that he's come in contact with, and really, as he said, elevate those around him through his challenges. And there were so many. First of all, we got the opportunity to spend the whole day with him, basically. We had a smaller lunch at the boathouse with probably 50 people, and then we had a really small dinner right before his larger presentation in Richardson, which had 600 or 700 people. And so I got to really get to know him a little bit and hear his message. And there were so many things that he was saying that we've been saying to our athletes and our staff that it just, all of it resonated so well. And he just did it so beautifully. I mean, he's a fantastic speaker. He's the most, one of the most inspirational people I've ever met in terms of how he approaches a challenge and how he's able to really how he is changing people's mindset on how to approach challenges, really.
I mean, he's extraordinary. He's climbed the summit of the highest mountain on all seven continents, including obviously Mount Everest, and that's what he talked about the first time he was here. This time he was talking about his kayaking trip in the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon and the 70 rapids there. He was talking about his No Barriers Foundation. You know, and as you talk about inspiration, I think he, you know, works a lot with war veterans who have suffered catastrophic injuries and whose worlds may have seemed closed to them, and then he opens them back up in ways that I don't think they could ever have imagined, and it's extraordinary. And the other thing I was just struck by is how matter of fact he is about being blind. And you know, and it was funny when he said, "How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon?" And a bunch of people raised their hand. He's like, "Don't raise your hands."
Yeah. No, he had a great sense of humor. He had a great ability to connect with the audience, and like I said, he had four or five. I mean, I was taking notes during the lunchtime presentation and then sitting next to him at dinner. And just, I kept finding myself grabbing these little nuggets that he said and thinking that's exactly what we're trying to get across to our teams. You know, he talked a lot about trust within a team and sort of when he's climbing these tremendous mountains, what he needs from his team. And really, he said, you know, linking together is our best chance of success, which I think is really what we talk about all the time, you know, teamwork and really focusing on that team before the individual really allows you to excel. And he talked, you know, about that trust that needs to exist within a team in order to really reach your peak potential and to really elevate those around you, which I loved. So I thought he was fantastic.
And I thought at the lunch what was great was when Joe Percival from the football team was there and said that his mother, who had recently lost her sight after that illness, that my colleague Craig Saxon wrote that nice feature on, and then there was the video last year, but talking about how his mother wants to run a marathon and what advice would you give her? And it's like, do it. Yeah. Why wouldn't you do it? Yeah. You know, you're blind, who cares?
And about the support system that every person needs in their life and how we can all help, as I've said a couple times now, elevate each other. So I was very inspired by him and by his father, honestly, too, in the way that I've known Ed for a little while now, and he's been a tremendous supporter of Princeton Athletics, and to really hear more of their story and how they've approached this. And you know, Ed was a really big part of, has been a really big part of Eric's success, and sort of seeing his approach to parenting and how he sort of allowed him to fail and allowed him to push himself to limits that he might not have even thought he could accomplish. So really a lot of great little anecdotes about the way that he raised him and their family, which I just found to be really, as I said, inspirational.
So a lot going on in Princeton Athletics these days as the fall season's really getting into crucial time, and you got a lot of teams playing for Ivy League championships as winter teams are practicing and getting ready to go. And one question I have for you is, as the director of athletics, when you go to these games, are you ever able to simply watch the game without anybody coming up to you and wanting to talk to you? Or do you find yourself, you know, having to, you know, be the AD before you can be the fan and really not getting a chance to watch?
Oh, no. I mean, listen, I really enjoy talking to people, as you know, and I enjoy hearing their perspective. But I also really love the games. And when you know the athletes and you know the coaches and you know what they've put into this, it just makes it that much more exciting to see how they, you know, perform. Obviously, the process being the most important thing, but it's fun to have a job where results matter and where there's winning and there's losing. And sometimes the losing parts not very fun, but, you know, it's a really unique opportunity to be engaged and to care so much about the result. So I like all of it. I like watching the game. I like really analyzing the game. Some sports I obviously know a lot more about than others, but I am passionate about sports and really like to analyze every moment of it. So I do really enjoy watching, but I also like seeing all the fans that really love Princeton Athletics and really feel grateful for their support.
There's a lot of teams playing a lot of big games coming up now, and this is the weekend where the football team will be at Harvard while everybody else is home, but seven fall teams that compete in Ivy League sports, plus men's water polo that is not an Ivy League sport, but the seven teams that compete in the Ivy League, I mean, every one of them is thinking championship as October is in the middle of the month, which is pretty fascinating dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, in my 4 years, I'm not sure we've ever been in this position before.
It's not a guarantee everybody's going to win.
No,
by a long
stretch, again, but as I said, I think on our last podcast, we could win all seven or we could win zero. And that's the beauty of sports. You know, you have to play the games, and our teams are very well aware of that, and nothing, I mean, the league is so competitive right now, and the athleticism is so high, and the sort of the passion with which all our teams in our league play is really fun to be a part of. And so, like I said, anything can happen, but it's great for the kids to be in the hunt and to have games really matter. It makes it a little stressful for us and not being able to actually directly contribute to that. But I think we're having a great fall.
I mean, there's always been a year. I mean, every year has been, you could always say, all right, well, these teams are playing for championships. These teams, they lost a tough game early on, or like it hasn't gotten, they're out of it, but like there's nobody out of it. I mean, you know, they're all right there. And again, I would be shocked if all seven of them won an Ivy League championship, but that you get to this stage of the season and they're all playing for them is pretty remarkable. It's a remarkable
statement. Yeah, and water polo is really fantastic also. So, you know, I think that they're right in the
hunt
as well.
Been in the top 10 to 15 all year in the country.
Yeah, so again, this is what makes it fun is you don't know what the outcome's going to be. There are no guarantees really with any of our teams. And so they all have to just keep focused on the process, keep focused on getting better every day, keep focused on sort of the team culture and creating an environment where winning and reaching peak potential is possible. So it's a lot of fun.
So before the fall ends and before all these championships are crowned, the winter teams will already have started the first women's hockey games are this weekend in Wisconsin. Men's hockey, men's and women's basketball, they're all getting ready to start. Let's talk a little bit about Jadwin Gym and some of the changes coming for basketball. And you know, if you're walking around the gym right now, you won't have a hard hat on because of all the construction that's going on the playing court, on the actual playing area. New bleachers and a new video board.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're
not a new video board, a video board.
A video board, yeah, and I think that's exciting. You know, I think we're looking forward to creating a slightly different environment in Jadwin and really, again, having an environment that matches the quality of our teams. And the kids are excited about it, we're excited about it, and it's required a lot of work on a lot of people's part, but everyone's really pulled together, and it's going to be very exciting. I think we can turn all the lights out and get the video board cranking, and it's going to be fun.
And the new bleachers are, if you want to just give a rundown of what that'll look like.
Yeah, they're just seat backs on the chairs closer to the court, and
fewer of them,
a little closer to the court, a little more comfortable. And again, we're really just this. Our teams are fantastic, and we want to have as much energy and excitement around our programs as possible.
So the video board in football has been there, you know, I don't know how long it's been there, but basketball, it has the video board for track all the way in the back, and the scoreboard that's been there you know, for all these years. I remember when they hung that one in the middle of Jadwin, and it was a pretty arduous process. This one is going to be much more arduous to get this thing up there, but I feel like the video board itself, from what I've seen, like the plans of it, and it's going to be a pretty spectacular addition.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to change the environment dramatically. And listen, every good thing that happens in life comes with some pain, and our coaches and our facility staff and everyone who works in Jadwin, you know, they've just been very accommodating and supportive, and recognize that sometimes you gotta endure some pain to get to the ultimate goal. So that's what we've been doing.
And there are a lot of other facilities projects that are underway, a lot of and things that were completed in advance of this year that we might not have talked about on the first two podcasts. I can't remember, but the new lounges have been very well received and very well used. And the Chandler Lounge and the Connor Lounge. And I finally figured out Chandler is the one in Caldwell, so everything's with a C. And then the football meeting rooms, the space for the meeting rooms in football have been spectacular.
Yeah, and again, a lot of teams other than football are using those rooms, but we have a theater, a new theater, 70-person theater room that with really theater-style seating, and then we have some smaller meeting rooms on the perimeter of that room. And the Chandler Lounge is amazing. That was the old Caldwell Lounge that has been renovated. And then, as you said, Connor Lounge is in our new lobby, and that's given a great place for coaches to bring guests and recruits, and really another opportunity to showcase the tremendous success that our athletic program has had over the years. And again, I think our goal with all of this is to have our facilities match the quality of our program. And, you know, new locker rooms with a lot of sports, including a new football locker room, and a number of additions that we've made that have taken a lot of, you know, some time to get done, and tremendous support from donors and from other folks around the university to get these things done. But I think it makes a big difference for our program.
How much of this stuff can you plan far in advance? And then how much of this stuff that comes across your desk do you have to, you know, sort of read and react a bit? Obviously, you can't just put a video board up in 5 minutes, you know, or decide, hey, today let's put a video board up. Like, but how much of this stuff is stuff that you are able to actually say, all right, within 5 years I want to do this, and then how much of it is, this has come up, we must now deal with this?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, but we really did set out a strategy, you know, with our entire staff, coaches and administrators, to say, what are some things that will move the needle for our program, and what are some things in the short run that we can get done, and what are some things in the longer run that need to happen in order to keep Princeton Athletics moving forward, and in order for us to continue to be innovative and to get programs and facilities and support that is needed to run this complex organization. So I think it's a little bit of both. There are some opportunities that come up, or some needs that come up while you're in the middle of a strategic plan, or you're in the middle of some things that you are working on, that you say, yeah, this is an opportunity that we can't miss, and this is something that's really important, and let's get on it and get it done. So it's a balance of all those things.
So with all of those projects that are going on, and all of the enhancements that are coming to Princeton facilities, and with all the fall teams playing for championships, we will be creeping up on what you've often said is your favorite day of the year here, which is tagged, which is going to be, off the top of my head, I don't remember the exact day, but it's after Thanksgiving, as it always is, and this is the fifth time that we're going to be having a Tiger Athletics Give Day. And it really has turned into a day that not just you, but a lot of people here find to be a lot of fun, and it represents a lot of what's great about Princeton, which is the overwhelming support that the people who've come through these programs give, and the loyalty that they have, so that the people who are here now can have the kind of experience, the best kind of experience that they can, even a greater experience than the one that they had. But just talk a little bit about how much fun that is for you.
It's great. I mean, just we've created this environment where it's all about engagement, and it's all about participation and getting people who love Princeton Athletics, whether they were a former Princeton athlete or just a fan, a parent, an alum, to really engage, and hopefully they engage all year, but to really engage in a big way on this one particular day. And we've also created some competitions, which is obviously one of the unique parts of this day.
You take ultra competitive people and dangle more competition in front of them, of course they're going to react to it.
Right. And our coaches are really creative, and they understand the importance of, you know, hearing from their own student athletes, and they all try to beat each other, but in a very healthy, positive way. I mean, I think that they share best practices, and we really have a lot of strategy sessions and really figure out how to put our athletes front and center, because that's the most important thing in this, is having people understand what a commitment they make to their athletic endeavors, and how fun they are. I mean, that's the other part of this, is that Princeton Athletics is supposed to be fun, and it's supposed to bring community together in a unique way. And so we have been so excited about this day, and we love to see the creativity coming out of teams and coaches and athletes. And so I look forward to it every year, and I think that it's been a great way for people to rally around their favorite team.
Well, that's still a little more than a month away, and we're going to be rolling out a lot of information about Tagged and how people can join in the fun. And that's coming pretty soon to Princeton social media and to the webpage. And again, the big games that are coming up starting this weekend, where there's the three games against Harvard at home in men's soccer, women's soccer, and field hockey, all of which have Ivy League championship implications, the football game up at Harvard, every one of them is important. And as the next few weeks unfold, we're going to see just how many of those seven teams and water polo in their league are going to be able to claim championships, and we wish them all luck. And you and I can talk again in another week or two, and we can see where we stand then and talk about some of the other – we'll talk probably more about TAG than some of the other facilities enhancements, and we'll talk about some of the other issues and challenges that come up in Princeton Athletics every day. But for now, I just want to thank you for taking a few minutes to be with us here today.
Yeah, and obviously women's volleyball also. And
tied for first.
Tied for first. And the two cross-country teams, men's and women's cross-country, who have their HEPS Ivy Championship, and it's at home this year. I think it's the 27th. It's the Saturday.
Saturday the 27th.
And, they're both terrific, and that'll
both
be
have been
really
nationally
fun.
Ranked.
That's one of my favorite events of the year. I mean, it's HEPS is just like it's incredible because all eight teams are going at it at one time, and for the men and the women, and they just leave it all out there, and it's so inspiring to watch how much energy and effort. And our teams are really good, and so come out and watch if people are around.
That is one of the most fascinating things to me is that. That's where you crown an Ivy League championship in that, 15 to 20 minute race that takes place, and now you're the Ivy champion, and it's all there, and everybody knows it, and they're planning and practicing and everything else that they're doing to be ready for those 20 minutes. And then you look at other sports like hockey and basketball that just they go for months and months crown their championship, and volleyball is double round robin, but HEPS is like in and out. Here's one, here's the other, the women, then the men, or the men, then the women, depending on what order they do it in, and it's a great event. And it's a great event when it's in Van Cortlandt Park. It's a better event when it's here because we don't have to find a place to park near Van Cortlandt Park.
Yeah, and our course is fabulous. And again, the it's a team. It's an individual sport, but it's a team sport. And so the way that they all pull for each other and the way they work with each other, there's a lot of strategy to it. And it's really exciting.
And you stand by the finish line and you see, okay, the first person came in and then two and three and then four. And like by the time they get to like eight, you've already lost track of what the score is. So then people just start flooding across the finish line and you're trying to figure out, well, did we win? Did they win? And then like all of a sudden, like everybody's crowded around and then one guy always seems to know.
Right.
And then like the word just spreads and you can see people react. And it's a great event. And then of course there's the tents that each school puts up for their fans and for their athletes. And it is a great event. And it's here this year. So it's definitely one that's worth coming out to.
Absolutely.
So Molly Marcus-Simon, the Ford Family Director of Athletics, thank you once again for being here on your podcast. And we will be back a few more times throughout the fall and into the winter and throughout the school year as we keep you updated on Princeton Athletics.
Good. Thank you, Jerry.
Jerry Price for Molly Marcus-Simon, thank you for taking a few minutes to be with us here today. And thank you for your continued support of Princeton Athletics.